Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Why don't you open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And I sure don't want to get ahead of the Lord, amen. Is it Bernard? Yes, sir, good to see you again, man. Good to see you last week. Brother gave us a powerful testimony, amen. It's just, he'd been hanging out looking for Livingstone, and he had ran into somebody at the store, and they were supposed to call him and didn't call him, but God is so good that he runs into another brother from Livingstone, amen. And they invited him out, and he made me a promise. He said, you will see me here. Ah, praise God, amen. We're going to mess with just one verse, and we're just going to see how the Lord would lead me today, amen. And it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And it's a favorite passage, and I think everybody kind of knows it to quote it. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Pause. Father, we bless you in your temple, Lord, and we ask that you would pour, Lord God, as we have gathered here, Lord God, and you said oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. You said it's like the oil poured on Aaron's head that went down to his beard, to his skirts. Lord, pour your oil, Lord God. Speak to your people, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got a definition. You may be seated. Amen. And it says trust. Trust is what a couple have to have in order to be in love. To be in love, you have to know that you are letting him or her a chance to break your heart. But here's the key. But trusting them not to, keeping them intimate or your emotions and feelings open to the whole reason why you absolutely love them. Trust. You know, yesterday I was supposed to be at prayer, but I had to unload a truck, and I ran into a young man, and it was interesting. When I greet people and say, hey, good morning, brother, how you doing? And he says, I'm blessed. I said, oh. I said, you're blessed. I said, well, amen. I said, so are you a believer? And he says, yeah. I said, you're a believer in Christ? And he says, yes, again. I said, well, amen. And so as he was unloading my truck, I was looking at the sunrise, and I was pondering the thought of trust. And I thought, I said, let me ask him, does he trust God? And I say, most of the time, people aren't honest in Christendom. We like to say the religious things and go along, but the reality of the matter is, the question is on the floor today, would you guys put that up? Do you trust God? And so as we begin to dialogue, he says, yeah, I trust the Lord for my salvation. I said, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you trust God? And so he was sharing with me about a situation that he had. He went into business. He took out his 401k, and he went into business with his cousin. And they had said they were going to go 50-50 in partnership, but as the relationship began to go on a little bit, his mother came from Arizona. And so now the conversation changed, and now it's a third part. And so he got a problem going on with his cousin, but he's afraid to address it because it's family, and he doesn't want to mess up family. But it's bugging him, and he's sharing with me right now, right? And I'm kind of wanting to cut him off because I want to be at prayer with Carrie. That's where I'm supposed to be at 6 o'clock in the morning at prayer. But what's more important was that I would be there to minister to his brother and to let him to continue to go on. And so we begin to dialogue back and forth. And so I said, well, man, I said, have you ever thought about going to him? I said, because the scripture says in Matthew, if we got an ought against a brother, go to that brother, just you and that person. And he said, but I'm afraid I might blow up at him. Huh, Roman, you know how that is when folks mess with your money, right? And I said, but you ain't got to go with that kind of posture or disposition. Just go and talk to him. That's all you want to do. And then trust God. Pause for a minute. He said, I don't know, man. I said, what you mean you don't know? I just asked you that question. Do you trust God? And I said, here's the whole thing, that you got to believe enough that God is sovereign enough to handle your business. Just like when Abraham was given the land, he came through and Lot with him said, he said, you choose this one or you choose that one. Well, Lot took the more fruitful land and Abraham took the barren land, but he trusted God enough to make it fruitful. So my question again to my congregation this morning is, do you trust God? I want you to think about it. And then I asked somebody else, and I won't mention the name. I said, what do you think about it? And this was a young lady, and she says, well, I believe that God is omnipotent. I believe that he's omniscient. I believe that he's all those things, but how do you trust somebody you can't see? Do you trust God? Last week, there was a lot of people up here, and you guys have been on my heart all week. And I went home thinking, I was like, wow, how many of them do they actually trust God? They're worried, they're stressed out, they don't know what to do. But do you trust God enough that he's sovereign enough to do what he wants, how he wants, to take you through your situation? Do you trust God? Be real with yourself. You ain't got to talk to me, but in your heart's heart, the Holy Spirit is dealing with each of you right now and asking that same question. Do you trust me? The big word C has been coming up a lot. I got a friend, and I'll say his name is Ray, and I got to say, he's been a good soldier fighting this fight of faith, him and I together. When he gets a little bit weak, he pick up the phone, he say, hey, Pastor, I'm just telling you how I feel. I just had chemo today, man, and man, it zapped me. And then we get to talk, and I say, but you got to trust God, Ray. And sometimes he's crying on the phone, and it's making me cry because I can't do nothing but pray for my brother. And I have to ask the question, do you trust God? Do you trust God even to the point that if you lose your life, that it's okay? Talk to me this morning. Come on, because there's something that he put on my heart that's weighing on me. And it's a problem with the church today. We seem to be forgetful people. God do something fantastic for us yesterday, and then the next day come and we wonder if he's going to do it again. Come on now. Do you trust God? Do you trust God when you get the pink slip and you just bought a new car? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh. Y'all like to quote that scripture, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But when the truth, when the carpet hits the road, do you trust God? When your children runs wild, somebody said they've been there, and you worry yourself sick about your child that you raised and you trained him in the Lord, and he knows right from wrong, and he made a choice to go wrong, just like we did. But we lose sleep because we're trusting in. I was on my job Friday, man, and I was dealing with this message, trying to say, Lord, how do we minister this thing, you know? Because I was going somewhere else, and he just led me somewhere else, so I'm just going to flow, if y'all don't mind. And I'm at work, and I took my mother to the airport, Lisa and I, Thursday night. She went to Minnesota to a family reunion. And so I was tired, and the day before, I had a hard day, and I said, you know, I'm the boss. I'm going to sit in this truck and let these cats work. They make the same amount of money as I do. I'll let them work. But my job is based on production. And so if I don't get the production out, I'm getting behind schedule, and everything is posted for me to be at. So I let this brother get back there. And what I felt, and I'm going to say it this way, what I felt that he should have been done in about an hour and a half, took us 3.5 hours to do. Okay, and so I jump on, and so the Lord gives me the strength, and the wind blows, and we make up some time. And I go to lunch, and I come back, and they're supposed to wash the machine. I get out, I'm ready to go. And so I get to the machine, and it's clogged. And what it is a wand, and material flows out of them, apply it to the ground. And at first, I did that ballistic. Whoo! Because I go 0 to 100 real quick. I tell you about me. And then I caught myself. I said, no. I said, here's a test. Here it is right here in my face. Am I going to trust God enough to be supernatural enough to be God in my life to get me back on the road? And so they're panicking because they're looking for a crazy man. And believe me, I'm crazy. I always tell you, don't put me on no pedestal because I got issues, all right? And I didn't. You know, I did the opposite. I started laughing. And they looked at me like, boss, you all right? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm cool. I said, I get this. I know what this is, right? And so I waited. And again, I'm learning to trust God. And I guess what the Lord has put on my heart as a congregation of people is that we trust him for salvation, but we don't trust him for our lives because we're trying to drive our own lives. That's why the rest of it says to lean not to your own understanding. And so when he tells you to do something that's crazy, like he tells Gideon, he said, hey, man, you got 22,000 people, got too many people. Go down there and tell the ones who are scared to go home. Leans it down, make a long story short, it comes down to 300 men. That don't make no sense to me. Come on, be for real about it. It makes no sense to walk around Jericho 7 days. But if God told you to do it, Dr. Charles Stanley told me, he says, if God told you to do it, to run through the wall, he said, you better run through the wall knowing that some kind of way there's going to be a hole in the wall to do it. But the question on the floor is, do you trust God? Some of you in here right now, you're stressing about life. And Carrie, you helped me today when you got up. Life is going to happen. Jesus says this. He said, in this world, John 16:33, you will have tribulations. Sister Cook last week, she was talking about waiting and having patience. Well, Romans says tribulations worketh and patience giveth us hope that our hearts won't be abroad. And so in this life, I believe God begins to try us in various different things that we would learn not to hope in things that we see, but in the unseen. And as a church, we become fearful of people who wear their pants sagging, who roll, who people who got tattoos all over themselves. Because sometimes I wanted to preach it. What does a Christian look like? What does he look like? Sometimes it's the earth's ugliest people that's tattooed and messed up that God has called from the junk, the foolish thing to confound the wise. And yet, us as church folks don't really know how to love our neighbors. I heard this, Elder Dawson gave me a program, I'm trying to think it's called Right On, but anyway, make a long story short, Francis Chan used to be a pastor in Simi Valley and grew up a big church, moved to San Francisco and decided to leave the church completely because he didn't like what was going on and people began to worship him and he believed that everybody in the church had gifts and that everybody was coming to hear this one man when it should be everybody else developing their gifts. And that's why I always like to give people chances to present different ideas and see how the Lord would do different things. To make a long story short, a gangbanger came in and he got baptized. And he was on fire for the Lord. Then all of a sudden, he drifted away. And they said, well, what happened? And this is what he said. And check this out. Follow this with me. He said, I thought it was going to be like when I got jumped in the gang. What are you saying? He says, when I got jumped in the gang, me and the homies, we would kick it every day. We were around each other. We fellowship. We were like a family. But the church only comes together once or twice a week, and then you don't see each other again. I'm going to let that sink in a little bit. What's wrong with us? Baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, so you say. But yet we want to be so close to the world, that people can't really identify our light. Our light is supposed to so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify God. We're supposed to be salt. What does that mean? That means I'm supposed to be flavorful. I'm not supposed to repel everybody. And we want to talk about LBG and gay folks, but what about you committing fornication and everything else in the church that's been going on? We want to talk about their force feeding us. Well, they've been force feeding us sex all along, but ain't nobody said nothing. I just want to talk to you a little bit from my heart. But I want to ask you the question again, do you trust God? And if you trust God, then why aren't we doing the things that he asked us to do? We got big cars, but yet we ride in it, rolling down the street, flossing, and we don't have nobody else in to come to church. We walk right past people who really need to hear the gospel. The scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Y'all know how to quote it, but are you doing it? I love James because James is a banger. James says, don't just be hearers of the word only, but do what the word says do. We trust God for salvation. We got that. But for the rest of the life, we take everything back into our own hand and we begin to do things like we want to do. It's a season now where people are afraid and people don't know what to do and people are looking for direction. And if the church is not going to be lit up, but just go around and put a bushel over his head, then what good are we? As he says, we're good for nothing. If the salt has lost its savior, then it's good for nothing. Now, all of us are sinners, so how can we say something different to someone else when they make a mistake? See, that's what love is. God loves us unconditionally. That's why I ain't ashamed to tell you I smoke dope like a broken stove. Or I used to throw me a 50-piece on it, boy, the pipe would light up. I tell you, and boy, the oil be running down it, and I take a hit, and ooh, ears would pop. Booyah! Woo! But that's where I was. But God saw me in my mess. In my mess. And he extended a hand to me, and I began to trust him. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't trust God in everything yet. I haven't got there. I don't know, maybe some of you have. I think maybe some of the mothers may be older, and they've had a little bit more life experience than I have, and they've learned a little bit more. But there's still areas in my life that I haven't let go, and I still seem to take the wheel. It's like driving a car. I was in an accident some time ago, and I normally don't let nobody drive me. I'm going to be behind the wheel. Even if I'm sleepy, I'm going to drive because I'm going to be in control because I don't trust God. Trust Thomas. And most of us say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. And how long does it go before you got it back in your hand and you drive it? The disciples, it's interesting that they were with Jesus and they were on a boat. Jesus was tired. And I get that, man. If you've been working all day, ministering, people pulling on you. Sometimes I come to church and when I come home, my wife always said, you're going to take a nap. I feel like everybody was pulling on me, pulling my energy out of me. I get home, I take me a nap, tired. And he's asleep. And there a storm arose. That's what the scripture says. And the winds became boisterous, amen, and very busy, kind of like what we were looking at the other day as I was reading the little news reports as it came on what was supposed to happen in Louisiana. And I was a little bit fearful for the people there because Pastor Mitchell just moved there, amen. And they wake him up and say, man, do you care? I can see him like, really? You woke me up for this? And he speaks to the wind, and he speaks to the sea, and he turns around and says, man, y'all's a trip. And he goes back to sleep. But then they said, a question is, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? But I thank God that he's patient with us today, amen. He didn't throw the disciples away. But he kept working with them. And then finally they had another storm. And it says, truly, this is the Son of God. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what calamity is going on in your life. But I just thought I'd drop by. And as the Holy Spirit is asking each of you a question, do you trust me? Am I not enough? Some of you still like to puff, puff, give, have a little drink. But I don't know. My Bible says that John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost and he neither drank wine or strong drink. It don't agree with the Holy Ghost. If you tell me you got one thing, then you should demonstrate it. If you're full of it, there's other things. He's enough. He's the God of enough. And I just want to challenge us. The biggest thing I want to challenge is that why don't we grab somebody and bring them to church? But here's the other thing. Don't be superficial. Because everybody who come to church, you're so in a hurry to leave, you miss the people that are hurting. And so you walk right out the door, walk right past people because you're not discerning. Deacon Wiley came and told me a story earlier that he was professing Deacon Wiley. He's the Cal Works chairman, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden something hit him and redirected his conversation where he was a blessing and not a curse. And all I'm saying is that won't we open up our eyes and really, if we trust God, begin to do the works of God. Does that make sense? And not to try to figure it out like we want to do it, because God may say, well, I want you to give him $100. The devil is a liar. But you know something, remember, he said, don't lean to your own understanding. If you trust me, if I gave you 100, you know I can give you 200. And you can never outgive God. But you know something, the scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus had a little problem too, trusting his father, because he went and he said, wait a minute, I done seen how these cats act. Lindsay, you know what I'm saying? He didn't say, I done seen how these people act, God. He says, Father, is there another way we can do this? He said, nah, Jesus, this is how it's going to be. We discussed this before you left. He went back to pray again. He said, wait a minute, let me ask you one more time. Are you sure this is the way it happens? He said, yeah, this is the way it's happening. He said, all right, man, I'm down with it. Not my will, but let yours be done. And so if God so loved us that he gave, and even when it wasn't compelling or something really Jesus wanted to do, but that he did it. And then the scripture says, for the joy of the cross that he went before. Amen. And he loves each and every one of you. And like I said, as I was talking to Bishop the other day, and I'm trying to close, but in my 20 years, I've learned, I would use the word compassion. Before, I used to come at you guys and I used to try to beat you up because that's the way I thought God was. I thought that he was like my father was at times. And not that my father was a bad man, but my father disciplined me very roughly. And so when I did something wrong, I got punished for it. And then when I met this God, and I've done some things, and I've waited. You know what I did? He says, yeah. He didn't give me what I thought I deserved. And so those kinds of actions of love that he demonstrates towards me in my life has enabled me to trust him more and more each and every day. And I think just because we're human, that we tend to slip from time to time and forget. But I came to remind you today that you got a God who loves you so much, that wants you to trust him so much, and that you can put everything of your lock, stock, and barrel. They say put all your eggs in one basket and it'll be safe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. And let us pray. Father, we give your name praise, honor, and glory. God, we thank you today, Lord God, for a word, Lord God. My prayer, Lord God, is that your word penetrated not just the mind, but the hearts of your people today, Lord, to make us go and reevaluate, Lord God, what our trust is. psalmist wrote, some trust in horses, some trust in chairs, but we're trusting the name of the Lord. Father, we ask that you bless the hearers, Lord God, and that they'll be able to apply the word, Lord God, to their hearts in a special way. We continue to lift up our pastor, Lord, that he's enjoying his vacation. We ask that you would bless him and grant him safe traveling journeys on his way, Lord, and that he's enjoyed himself. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, be glory, majesty, and dominion forever. Go in peace, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless you.